Right now at 8:15 on the ticket, Good Times.
For the last 4 months or so, I don't know, I don't think I'm unique in this, but you'll see an old game or you'll see an old movie and you think back to what time was like before we had this new normal that we've been living in March. Like you'll see a bowl game from, say, the Rose Bowl from 2005 replayed, and you see everybody in the stands and think, golly, that'd be so great to go back and live in that world again where we could go to games or go to concerts. And I think just in general, I may be more nostalgic than you guys. I like looking back at nostalgic sporting events, at history, my own life. But I thought about this recently. I thought about it a lot. And maybe some of it has been summertime too, and your memories of your childhood and endless summers and all that. But if you could go back to a day in time, a day in your life, not going back 1,000 years in history, but some day that you had in your life, what would you go back and relive? For some, it may be their greatest accomplishment, either professionally or if you did play sports, you played on a high school championship team. Go back and have that day all over again where you went to the Astrodome or Texas Stadium and played for a state championship. You relive that day, everything you went through that day, and your teammates were around you again, and family and your friends that you had around you. Or from the personal side of it, when I started going through this, I thought, okay, well, birth of a child. Well, we've got three, so I couldn't really exclude one over the other, whether it was the first, second, or third. Those were certainly moments that stood out. Maybe when you got married, you look back at that day and how happy that was and your family that was around you. And if you don't choose that day, you may want to keep it to yourself, because when I tried this exercise out with somebody in my house, they said, okay, so you went back to a time before me, huh? Okay.
You know, my mom used to flat tell me that the day I was born was the happiest day of her life, and she would say that in front of my sister.
Oh.
Because I was the first one.
They're the first, yeah.
And she had always wanted a child, and she didn't have me until she was in her 30s, and so she was just upfront about it, that she didn't care about hurting feelings or anything like that.
Your sister would grind her teeth.
She said, the happiest day was my first child, the birth of my first child.
Wow.
But I would think your sister would maybe understand that now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Your sister's had kids. Yep. And particularly for your mom being 30, back in that day, was old to have a kid.
She was 35.
Dang, wow. Really?
That's because she had spent 15 years in the convent.
Wow.
She was a nun.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. And that certainly came
can't have babies in the convent.
No.
At least you're not supposed to.
So this is the direction I went. I went when I was younger, and I made it more about the thing that I probably miss the most and think about a lot of, like, this goes way back. Like, I remember being in high school, and two of my grandparents had passed, or actually three, but one happened long before I was born. But that was a life event when my grandmother and grandfather passed away within 2 years of each other. And I'd like watch a TV show from 5 years previous and think, when I was watching this show, I may have watched this at, we called him Gog and Gran, our grandparents. I was probably at Gog and Gran's house watching this Gunsmoke episode with my grandparents, and I've, you know, traveled back to that time. So this has always been a kind of a weird obsession with me. Maybe it's unique. Maybe everybody does this. But I went along the lines of the people and voices that I miss the most, combined with an era that I just have such a fond feeling for, and that was my childhood. And I went back to, specifically, I think my wife came up with a good idea of taking a family wedding, because there you're going to see people that are no longer here, people you haven't seen in 30 years. So when I thought of going back to when I was, say, 10, and that was when my first sibling got married, everyone was there. My grandparents, aunts and uncles who are gone now, cousins who I haven't seen, they're still here, but I haven't seen them in 20 or 30 years. That's what I eventually came down to, was a day where I could hear those voices again experience those relationships again, because they are pretty much lost with me. That was a time where we didn't have video cameras. There's real fuzzy 8mm taken of my brother and my sister's wedding, who got married a long, long time ago. But there's no video that we can go back and hear their voices and really get a clear look at what happened all those years ago. The other factor is a family of five. I'm the youngest of five. It's been very rare in the last 30 years that we've all five been together at the same time. We all see each other scattered times, but all five of us together, it's only happened at weddings and funerals over the last 40 years, really. So I would take a day from when I was, say, 10 years old. We'll go with my brother's marriage that was in Gainesville, and that would have meant my entire family was there. And that's one of the few times for three generations to be in the same spot, and that really hasn't happened since.
So picking that day when you were 10?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you fully absorbed it at 10?
No. No, I have
but
a
you're
fond
going
memory.
Back, what you're saying is you're going back with your adult brain so that
you can fully
absorb
it.
Okay.
You go back and, you know, maybe you can bring those experiences back with you, but it's a way to go back and relive it, appreciate it. Just a five-minute conversation with, maybe at the time you thought, golly, Uncle Ted goes on forever about this, but you don't get to talk to him anymore. Also, I went back to that time where you're 10 or 11, somewhere around in there, where you can run in a pasture and that's all you're doing is running, but you think it's like the greatest thing in the world because you're running barefoot through probably some iffy territory, but you didn't care because you were a kid and you thought you were fast and you could run like that again. I can't run like that anymore. I'd like to go back and run like that maybe just for a day. But that's what those were the factors for me. There's the people around me more than any sort of, you know, personal accomplishment or something like that. I thought about going back to, I can think of a few really fun days in high school, either playing golf or, you know, something with my friends back then or my family back then. But I thought for the full experience to go back and see the people, hear the people that I haven't been able to interact with in years. And I really don't have good record of it. I didn't sit down. Like, I still think one of the greatest things Gordo ever did was sit down with his parents and get video and audio of them telling stories, family stories, historical events. I think everybody should do that, and I have very little record of things like that.
Yeah, I think that the problem is that I think nostalgia, and I've had an odd relationship with nostalgia over my lifetime and a changing view on it. In some ways, I see nostalgia as just a real cancer and a curse.
Yeah, it could be a big waste of time.
Like, looking back is just a bunch of... It's painful. Even looking back on good times can be painful.
Because they're not around anymore?
They're not around, and, you know, you really should live in the present and from here forward. And the past becomes a huge sack of belongings that you carry around with you all the time, and it breaks your back after a while.
Yeah, George, you almost sounded, describing that moment that you've decided to go back in time to, it almost sounded like you were very saddened, you know? Like, because it's long gone,
yeah.
There's people that you can't communicate with anymore, and it's very sad.
Yeah, there is some sadness to it, and when you go through this exercise, if you did it, talked about it with a family member, you probably will get emotional.
Right.
Yeah.
You get emotional. But
at the same time, if you could go back and live it one more day, just like, yeah. And maybe you'd go back and think, well, this wasn't as great as I thought it was. Kind of being a 10 was a whip anyway.
That could happen. Or you could go back and live it and it was great. And then you come back today, present day, and then you're saddled with much more.
You miss
that painful nostalgia.
Right.
You know, so you're just torturing yourself, you know, because the bitter sweetness becomes more bitter than sweet.
To your point, Gordo, remember in The Sopranos, Tony Soprano once had the famous line, the worst kind of conversation is the one that starts, remember when.
I know, and we're all prone to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people that are very nostalgic. And I've had members of my extended family that were known for being nostalgic, and it seemed to be painful for them. I mean, you would see them you know, lamenting days gone by. And what a horrible bit of torture that would play across their face, you know, like just shadows would come over their face when they were remembering good times.
Yeah. And I think maybe that's the ultimate lesson out of all this, but I think it's good maybe to put yourself through it and realize that, yeah, maybe the best thing to take out of this is make a lot more of those times from here on out.
Live in
for other people, yeah, and yourself.
Because any moment, yes, because all the time that you spend right now living in the past is time that you're not living.
Right.
And, you know, now is the only time that to live, and you should be making moments now and enjoying them. And I think that it can be instructive, right, when you go back and realize, man, I wish I'd fully appreciated some previous moment. But it should be instructive and remind you that you need to appreciate this current moment.
Absolutely.
Gordo, I think you read the book as well as I did, the Eckhart Tolle book about living in the moment.
Power of Now?
Power of Now. And the first line in that book, I believe, is, I have little use for the past and rarely think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's all about living in the moment.
Right.
Now, you're also very conflicted because I don't know that I know anybody that's more obsessed with the past than you in terms of like buying your old childhood toys,
exactly,
and old cars, and you're more nostalgic, I think, than George.
Right. That's as I said, I've had a long relationship with nostalgia and been a very tumultuous relationship with it. You know, it's something that I still have to battle. I'm battling with it currently as I'm trying to decide, you know, because I'm at the point where I really want to let go of most of my earthly possessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just have a lot of things that hang around that are of the past. And I realize that I like having them around because I can always visit them at any moment. But the visitation leaves me with the sadness. So why do I have that around if it leaves me with sadness?
Right.
You know, because people do make a, I think, cognitive error when you go, but I like being able to visit it. And yes, there is a sweetness that is there when you get to visit something that was, hey, this is my dad's old baseball mitt. But I think that the sadness that it leaves you with is more than the sweetness.
That's interesting. I don't know about that. Like with me, I usually leave with a really good feeling.
I don't.
It makes me feel good.
It does. When I see something that, like my dad's childhood baseball mitt, it makes me profoundly sad because my dad was once a boy.
Yeah.
And this was once the hope, and his whole life was ahead of him, and this was his mitt and everything. And I don't like being reminded of that, you know, that we all lose it.
Yeah.
That your life is lost and it's short and painful. And I want that joy of his mitt rest with him back in that day, and it's okay. I can just let it go. The mitt can go to some other kid right now or whatever it needs to do in its next life. But being here right in front of my face reminds me of that little boy that had his hand in this mitt was the, you know, it's the same guy I held his hand when he died, you know, and the vision of him dying is just not something I like going back to.
No, I understand that.
I think I lean a little more toward George. It usually gives me a good feeling unless I'm looking at a picture of someone who's no longer with us. Like, right. If I look at old pictures of myself or my sister or, you know, somebody that's still around, my dad, it doesn't bother me. But if I see an older picture of my mom or, you know, grandparents or whatever it was, or a cousin I lost or something, then I'm reminded, wow, it's short.
Yeah.
Life is really short. Or I'm even affected if I see pictures of old people that I didn't know, you know, a picture from an 1860s schoolhouse, and I think, wow. All those little kids
are gone.
Yeah. That is how fast it goes. That's when I get affected. But if I see just an item, like, you know, something from my dad's time in the Navy or the habit my mom wore in the convent or something, those don't make me sad. Those are just things. So I don't attach as much, like, on the things as maybe you guys do.
But you keep them?
I don't really have any of that stuff. I think my sister does, but I don't really have much of that.
See, and I think that's good.
Yeah.
So you don't even have the stuff around to even see it to be sad on.
No, and if I do, it's in a box somewhere that I never see.
You don't care about.
Yeah, I think maybe my dad still has some of my mom's stuff, and my sister. You know, I've got pictures and maybe a letter or two that she wrote me, but I don't really have anything beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's basically me too. Pictures and a few items that like my dad brought back from overseas that are really, as he said, near and dear. When he was given these items from the Chinese people that they were protecting, and that had just been occupied by Japanese forces. So if it is productive or not, we're getting to the age now where you give someone an image, either video or still, and maybe audio. And I'm sure some of this is available right now with virtual reality. Would you be interested if we get to the point where you put on these goggles and basically you can go back, and maybe we, in the next 50 years, we're even beyond that, where you don't have to put on goggles. You just all of a sudden are in this virtual world and you're 10 years old again and you're surrounded by your people that are gone.
Well, you're never 10 years old again because you're saying your mind is advanced.
True, but you would be at that place in time again. It'd be, whatever, 1975, and it's this event that's been recreated in this time.
Right.
It's been recreated.
But it's a recreation. It'll be better than the actual time when you were young.
Unless the recreation gets hacked and
yeah, but
your grandmother starts vomiting and spitting blood out of her eyes or something.
Right, yeah. Outside of that. But I think that, I mean, we'll have more perfected memories, and that'll be a lot better than it was actually when you were 10.
But would you be interested in that service, though? Hey, bring us your videos and then come in a week later and you can experience it a day like it was when you were 10 years old again. And here's everyone that you were around that day, and it'll look like that
sure,
day.
Sure, that'd be fun.
I'd say yes for about 10-15 minutes. I don't want to do a whole day, but 10 or 15 minutes just to walk around and kind of, oh yeah, those were Uncle Ted's mannerisms. So yeah, I remember Aunt Jerry's laugh. But yeah, that'd be fine. I don't know about a whole day though.
But if you have that capability and technology, then I think most people will be living in some alternate reality too. There's right. not any kind of biological past that you're trying to recreate.
Yeah.
You will have always lived in kind of a fake world.
Right.
So you won't have any memories to recreate with a virtual world.
It may be a big waste of time to even think about it. And I don't know that I spend a lot of my days thinking about it. I've become certainly much more, I would say, reflective in the last 4 months, just
with
given
the pandemic,
what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, I think a lot of people have.
And you just, you think about your life more in those terms of moments and moments that will be. How many moments do we all have? And
sure.
I think
life's taken away from you, when the life as you know it is taken away from you, you either appreciate it much more, or you certainly reflect on it much more.
Yeah.
About the things that, wow, things we used to do and moving freely about the earth. And now you're starting to hear people that are dying. And so it's making you think of your own mortality. And is the virus going to get you or someone you love? Yeah, it makes you confront all these things.
And in the summertime, I thought about one of those days. Would it really be that great? Would that day really be as great as I thought it was?
No.
Eating a breakfast cereal that I loved, going
no.
to swim workout, playing baseball for 8 hours?
Absolutely no. not. We edit out. It's the weird thing. For being such negative creatures and pessimistic creatures, we do so much flattering editing of our own memories.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this just recently. I don't know whether we were talking about it on the air or not, but the family car trip. You know, like I remember our summer vacations and the family car trip as being great. Oh, it was great the time we drove up to Washington, D.C. It was great the time we drove down to Mexico. You know, these are great memories to me. And I wonder why I remember all these great moments on those trips, and I don't remember any of the 28 hours in the back of that hot car that was underserved by the air conditioner.
Bored to death.
Bored to death, arguing with my siblings. Mm-hmm. Somehow all of that got edited out in my memory.
That's just a great
But it had to
experience.
Have logically been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so much so that was one of my days, maybe when we traveled from my grandmother's house in Missouri to my other grandparents in Texas. Yeah, I just do that day because that was great. I got travel and I got to see both set of grandparents and my parents. That would be the day. And somehow I edited the 13 hours from Montgomery City to Gainesville,
yeah.
where I'm sure I was really,
right.
really bored, and also with an underserved air conditioner and a Buick Electra.
Oh, my sister would always get car sick. My little sister always got car sick and would always vomit. And our Buick Electra had this integrated garbage pail up in the front passenger footwell.
Really?
You could unhook.
Wow.
And that thing was always getting passed to the back seat where my sister could throw up next to us. And, of course, as soon as she threw up, you had to dive into the front seat and stick your nose in the air conditioner to keep from throwing up yourself. And all of that edited out of my memories when I think about, oh, what a great vacation that was when we drove across the country to go to Disney World.
No, it was vomit-laced.
That's right. It was basically a vomit vacation.